From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I've been watching the reception that President Trump has had in the Middle East, and it is really nothing short of remarkable and really, really breathtaking when you see how these Arab nations are literally rolling out the red carpet for the President of the United States. And it's fascinating. Yesterday, watching these crown princes rising up and giving our president standing ovations and honoring him almost as if he was a fellow king in the Middle East. I mean, this is the level of respect and honor that they are literally lavishing upon President Trump. And it is just, it's really quite remarkable to see. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are so happy to have millions of you joining us across the nation right now on so many of our incredible affiliates. I will say this. There were a couple of things that I found to be fascinating. I know people are making fun of this one particular moment, but this one particular moment really does symbolize the importance of the president and the mission and the message that he's bringing to the Middle East right now. So there was, first of all, I don't know if you saw this, but it was really fascinating. The president was given a police escort, and all of the escorts were these bright red police vehicles from Tesla. It was pretty amazing, pretty remarkable to see driving through the streets of Saudi Arabia, and then in Qatar. And I think what's happening in Qatar is truly fascinating. There was, and people are making fun of this, that there was a massive, I don't know, what do you call them, a delegation, a cavalcade, hundreds of people on camels, and they were lining the streets as the presidential motorcade came by. By the way, the presidential motorcade led by horses is just fascinating to see. But these camels, and people are saying, oh, you know, look at the camels. Yes, look at those camels. That is something that has never happened before. Now, let me back up for a moment. But before I get to the camels, I want to back up to when Air Force One landed in Saudi Arabia and the crown prince himself showed up to personally greet the president of the United States. That does not happen in Arab culture. That does not happen. No, it doesn't matter who the world leader is. You go to the crown prince. But that's not what happened when Donald Trump arrived. And they are treating this man with such great reverence. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but it makes me proud to be an American. It makes me proud of our president, because this did not happen under the Biden regime. Never happened. We were treated like throwaways, like we really didn't matter on the world scene. But I want to get back to these camels. Why the camels? Why did they have hundreds of camels and people on, I guess you call it camelback? Why do they have them lining the roadways there in Qatar? The reason why is because it was a symbol. There's so much symbolism happening that you and I are not even aware of. But when it comes to the camels, those are majestic creatures in Arab society. And so what they were trying to do was show great respect, the deepest respect, by lining this roadway with these camels. The camels play a very important role in Arab society and Arab culture. And they are revered, these camels are. So it is certainly a time-honored tradition, and one that we have never seen displayed upon an American president. And there's a lot of hate right now. There's a lot of anger at our president. Even a lot of our fellow conservatives are just enraged that President Trump is in Qatar. You know what I find fascinating is I don't see these same conservatives complaining that we get our oil from Saudi Arabia. What President Trump is doing here, folks, is President Trump is trying. It's really 4D chess what Trump is doing. Because the Middle East is not just about Israel. The Middle East is, and Trump is trying to bring peace to the Middle East, and he's trying to do it through economic policies. Trump is trying to stabilize the region because there are forces at play at this very moment that are hoping for a world war. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just say, I don't think anybody benefits from a nuclear war with Iran. I really don't. And that's where some of these war hawks within the Republican Party want to take all of us. They want war in the Middle East. And why do they want war in the Middle East? Because they want the money. I mean, it's really that simple. This is about lining their pockets. This is not about bringing peace. So if we launch a preemptive attack on Iran, guess what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen? Iran is going to launch attacks on Israel. And Trump doesn't want that. Trump does not want a war in the Middle East. And so he's trying to bring everybody together. And the president and the end goal here is that all of these Arab nations actually have either cordial or downright friendly relationships with Israel. That's the end goal to all of this. And it's really masterful when you see the president over there talking about how things are so pristine, talking about how well things are made. He is heaping praise upon the Saudis and the Arabs for the work they are doing. He's not speaking down to them. He's speaking to them one-on-one. The president is trying to forge relationships here and friendships. And yes, there's no doubt about it. The Saudis were responsible for what happened on 9/11. No doubt about that. Yes, Qatar, they have been a hotbed for terrorism. No doubt about that. But what Trump is trying to do, he's coming into this and he's saying, okay, are there ways that we can make this work? Are there ways that we can fix things? Are there ways that we can stabilize the region, meeting with Syria's leader? It's really a brilliant strategy that Trump is playing out in the Middle East right now. As a matter of fact, I want you to listen. And again, this is President Trump talking to a Saudi Arabian prince and really complimenting, committing what the president is saying. It goes to the heart of why he is there. There is a mutual admiration. Take a listen to Cut 5.
And the job you've done is second to none. You look at this, it's so beautiful. As a construction person, I'm seeing perfect marble. This is what they call perfecto. And just a great job you've done, and what a beautiful place. And we appreciate those camels. I haven't seen camels like that in a long time. And that was some greeting. We appreciate it very much.
So the president, he's being very complimentary, and he's calling out things that are so well done, and the craftsmanship and the commitment and the dedication to excellence. The president's trying to find common ground, and you heard him talking about that, of being in the construction business, a construction guy. Going back to why Trump, by the way, is more comfortable with blue-collar people in America, because that's how he views himself, a construction guy. So anyway, you've got Mark Levin out there, the great one. And Mark Levin is enraged over all of that. I mean, he is enraged that President Trump is on this diplomatic tour of Saudi Arabia and Qatar. And Levin is out there saying, and he posted this on X, and I want to read this. He says, Saudi Arabia played a significant role on the 9/11 slaughter of our people. I didn't hear the Crown Prince even apologize once yesterday for what they did to us. And I know the 9/11 families are reeling from this. And Qatar protected the leader of the 9/11 attack from the FBI before he was able to launch his war on America that killed our people. The debate about whether the plane is a legal gift, talking about the Air Force, one thing. is beside the point. Qatar is a terrorist regime that has murdered Americans. Okay, so what does Levin want us to do? Does Levin want us to go to war with Saudi Arabia? Qatar, does he want us to obliterate them, just launch some nukes and blow them off the planet? What does he recommend? Levin goes on to say, I cannot let bygones be bygones, and those Americans who suffer the consequences of what these monarchies did cannot either. I can't stop thinking about all the innocent people who went to work that day and were on those planes and all the firefighters and police officers who died horrible deaths. Well, let me stop right there for a moment. We don't forget about that horrible day either on this program. But Mark Levin's issue ought to be with George W. Bush. You know, if in fact Qatar played that role, why did we not go in and declare war on Qatar? We went to war with Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11. So what is Levin trying to say here? Does he want us to go to war, or are we just supposed to completely ignore Saudi Arabia and Qatar? Just let the Islamists take over. Levin goes on to say, I cannot let bygones be bygones, and those Americans who suffered the consequences of what these monarchies did cannot either. I can't stop thinking about all the innocent people who went to work that day. As for Iran, if they get a nuclear weapon, that's on our generation, and our country will suffer the horrible consequences. These are terrorists. They don't think like us, and they don't love life like us. We must have the guts and wisdom to protect ourselves. So again, my question is, what is the solution here? Does Levin want us to go in and preemptively strike Iran? What do you think is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, if we do that? We will be in the throes of a world war. That's where all of this will go. And Trump is just trying to avoid that. That's what he's trying to do. By the way, Ben Shapiro also. And look, hear me on this. We are devoted to the nation of Israel on this program, but there is a movement within Republican circles that says America has to put Israel first, not America first. So it's really not America first, it's Israel first. And there's been a lot of pushback to that, but you've got Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, and they're out there saying, hey, look, we've got to take care of Israel first. Ben Shapiro, just obliterating President Trump, really some nasty stuff, accusing the president of taking sacks of goodies from people who support Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, Al Jazeera, all the rest. That's not America first. Shapiro also warned about the crypto ventures, suggesting that that it was akin to the Biden family crime syndicate, calling it sleazy stuff. And he's not the only one. Rand Paul attacking President Trump. So you've got a lot of Republicans that are now going after President Trump. So the question is, does America bow down to Israel? Do we put everything on the table for them? Is Benjamin Netanyahu the de facto president of the United States? Now, I believe that God has set apart Israel as a chosen nation, and I believe that. But within the confines of American politics, at what point do we put the interest of America first? That is the debate that's being had right now in the Capitol. And by the way, it is a raging debate. You may not be hearing lawmakers talking about this in public just yet, but there is a massive effort underway to convince the White House to preemptively strike Iran. And if we do that, ladies and gentlemen, that will lead to nuclear war. It really is that simple. So we're going to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. Again, though, what President Trump is trying to do is bring peace to the region, and he's doing that in a very diplomatic way. Otherwise, do you agree with Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro that Saudi Arabia and Qatar are now irredeemable? They are beyond redemption, and they too must be wiped off the face of the earth. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have 6 of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait! There's more! Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. No, I've already gotten messages. Todd, are you an anti-Semite? No, I'm not an anti-Semite. But I do believe that you can be America first and also support the nation of Israel, not Israel first and then America. I mean, we are Americans, right, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. I'm telling you, it's just crazy. I knew this was going to happen. Why, that starts. He's a Jew hater. He's a Jew hater. I knew it. All right, calm down. I am not. I'm just throwing that out there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Jim in Georgia. All right, Jim, what do you think of the president's trip to the Middle East?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Todd. Back in the day, the mid-1900s, we had two great enemies, Germany and Japan. They did terribly despicable things to not just us, but to the whole world. And yet today, they are two of our best allies. And there's an old axiom that also applies, is keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. And sometimes the best way, how is it that discretion is said to be the better part of valor? And so I think President Trump realizes, in order to prevent just total burn it all down war in the Middle East, sometimes you have to make friends with who at times may have been your enemy.
So keep your enemies closer, Jim, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, look, I love the president's strategy here. And again, if, God forbid, you know, Saudi Arabia or Qatar, they decide to launch a terrorist attack on America, I have no doubt that President Trump would wipe them off the face of the earth. But my concern is that you've got forces out there that believe what they did is completely unforgivable, and we should be at war with all of these nations. To your point, what about, okay, Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, what about Japan? What about Germany?
Exactly.
What about Vietnam?
They did far worse. They did far worse than Qatar or Saudi Arabia, or even Hamas, for that matter, has done.
Look, it's a fair point you're bringing up, Jim. And again, I think it's a little narrow-sighted here. And again, we're dealing with people, and in the conservative media world, who have allegiance to Israel. And I completely respect that. I do. But again, does that mean that we need to go to war with Iran, like right now? Because that's what people are calling for. They believe that we should launch a preemptive strike on Iran. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. This is The Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-220-3800. That's 800-220-3800. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Hope you guys are doing great wherever you are across America. And by the way, I'm really excited about an event coming up, and we're going to be on the road doing a lot of events over the summer promoting my brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Those of you who might be watching us right now on Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, or X, I'm holding up a copy of the book. This is just a fun little book. It is one of the most inspirational books I've ever written. And we're going to introduce you to patriots who discovered that the secret to happiness was not politics or power, but a life lived as an ambassador for Christ. Our good friend Franklin Graham wrote the foreword, and we're doing a big launch party. All right. And we love throwing a big party, and we're going to be throwing a big party in the Memphis area. And if you are interested in attending, we're going to give out the number in just a moment, and you can call and we will send you details on our big book launch celebration. We want to have a big crowd come out. We're going to have some incredible food. It's a big patriotic celebration. We'll be signing copies of the book. And if you attend this book signing, our big book launch party, you're going to be the very first people in America to get a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, because it's not going to be in stores until June 17th. So June 12th at Germantown Baptist Church, we're going to be doing a big book launch celebration, and we would love for you to attend. It is free of charge, but you do need a reservation. So if you're interested in attending, give us a call and we'll get your information and we'll make sure that you are invited. Again, it's a June 12th, 5:30 to 7:30, and here in the Memphis area. And I thought, you know what? We need to be able to, I want to launch one of my books right here in my hometown. And then we're going to hit the road. We're going to be at First Baptist Church in Dallas. We're going to be at Liberty University. We're going to be in Lancaster Baptist Church out in California. Also, Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills, California. Just literally all over America this summer promoting this great little book. And by the way, the recipes alone, unbelievable. We have some great all-American recipes in Star Spangled Blessings. So if you would like information on attending our book launch celebration here in the Memphis area, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and we'll make sure you get an invite. All right, let's go right back to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Mike, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 in Texas. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hello. Hey, I just wanted to address Mark Levin and everyone that has dissatisfied with President Trump. Look at what he's going through his first and now second term. And then go back to when Reagan left office. You had George H.W. that gave us the modern version of the New World Order. Clinton signed NAFTA and paved the way for China to steal our intellectual property. His wife sold uranium to Putin. W. gave us the Patriot Act. Then you got Obama giving $1.5 billion to terrorists and then going on a worldwide apology tour. And then the Biden administration speaks for itself. So when you call, when you compare all of that to what President Trump's gone through, overcome, and has done for the country, I mean, how can you be dissatisfied?
Mike, it's a great question you raise. Trump is literally undoing so much damage that both political parties did, not only to America, but to the entire world. And I am that there are so many unanswered questions about what led to the war in Iraq and the devastation that caused, the treasure that we lost in American souls that were fighting in that war, lives that have been forever scarred as a result of that. And again, Donald Trump is trying to make sure that this country never has to go through anything like that again.
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking. That's what this is all about. The same way with the plane. I think it has more to do with Boeing and his dissatisfaction with American companies than anything else. And I think what he's doing is just making sure, doing his best to make sure that a 9/11 never happens again.
I want somebody to explain to me at Boeing, and again, this is an executive level, management level question here, but how is it that Elon Musk could build a rocket ship that flew people into outer space in less than 18 months, and you can't build a 747 for the President of the United States to use? How is that possible? Going all the way back to World War II, when they were literally churning out jets on the assembly lines in Detroit and other places around America in under 2 weeks, someone needs to explain what's going on there.
Well, I have a better question. How can NASA send men back and forth to the moon, but we can't rescue astronauts that are orbiting the Earth only a few hundred miles away?
Fair question, Mike. Look, these are all great questions. But again, Donald Trump complimenting. And again, when you are, and they're treating him like royalty, and I think that's what angers the mainstream media and the Democrats and the neocons. And the reason why is because they respect Donald Trump, and he is showing them respect. And again, that doesn't mean you agree with every single thing they've done. You can even hate their guts, but at least there is mutual respect for each other. And that mutual respect may possibly save lives that we don't even know about because of the relationships that Trump is making with these people right now. So I'm willing to give Donald Trump a lot of leeway here, because what we've done in the past just hasn't worked. Mike, thanks for that call. Let's go to North Carolina. Patty, listening to us on the great WSIC. Patty, a lot of people have been asking, how's Patty doing? So, Patty, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Todd. I'm on my second chemo, and I just had it yesterday. I have 5 more to go, and then I'll find out whether or not I get radiation or not. But I'm holding there, Todd. I'm strong.
Well, we told folks you're a tough bird, Patty, a tough bird.
Yeah. And now I'm even tougher because I'm going to stick up for you, and I'm really mad right now. And don't get me mad. I'm 5'2", 90 pounds, and don't mess with me because now I'm mad at Mark Levin, Shapiro, Rand Paul. You want to know something? Who thanked Donald Trump about Alexander coming home? The Alexander family didn't thank Netanyahu, did they? Who did they thank?
They thanked Donald Trump.
Thank you. What happened there, right? He's the one that had him released, not Benjamin Netanyahu. I am so sick and tired. What he's doing over right now in Qatar and what he's doing this for the future. Not doing it for himself. He's doing it for all of us to make sure they don't have a nuclear bomb. We're not, you know what I'm saying? He's smart. He knows what he's doing.
Patty, he looks at his precious grandkids, and he doesn't want them to have to fight a war because of our screw-ups.
Right. And you know what? You're right about Levin. If he's got a problem, or Rand Paul, or Shapiro, if you got a problem with somebody, you better go after George Bush and Cheney, because they're the ones who did the 9/11. Donald Trump is not doing wars. He's trying to get us out of wars. And I'm so sick and tired of him. He puts up with a lot with the Democrats with the TDS. Not only that, but now he's going to deal with the Republicans. I mean, my God, this guy has been through so much. and they don't let up. They keep it up and keep it up. But I'm telling you, he is doing the right thing. And you know what? Keep on doing what you're doing, President Trump, because you want to know something? God's hanging. Let me hang in here to see him do great things. And I thank God for that. God is helping him, Todd.
Patty, I have no doubt about that. And the sheer, it was just just a beautiful moment when President Trump actually brought up God. Here he is talking to a bunch of Arabs. I would suspect most of them are Muslims in that crowd. I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but the fact that President Trump brought up God, and he did so in such a beautiful, respectful way, and the response, the applause he was getting from the crowds. Again, it is all about mutual respect and letting people know that we don't think they're, you know, again, the Arabs, you know, we don't think they're just running around on camels all the time. You know, President Trump lavishing praise on these folks for simple things like the perfection of marble in the construction of the palace. Trump is, it's a brilliant game he's playing. And unfortunately, either the people in Washington, they don't want to recognize it, or they can't, or they just, you know, they're morons. And it could be that they're morons.
Well, look at this one, too. He's putting himself on the line. He has a $10 million bounty on his on him. He has a $10 million bounty on him. He can get assassinated any time over there.
It's a and again, that is a fair point. As a matter of fact, Trump pointed out to the press corps that they were being escorted into Qatar with, I think, 8 military fighter jets, and made a joke about it. Actually, one of the reporters said, "Are we safe? Are we safe, Mr. President?"
I mean,
come on.
The guy's incredible. I don't care. You know what? Keep on doing what you're doing. I love this man.
Yeah.
And you want to know something? God be with him. And, you know, God is going to be with him. And you want to know something, Todd? I love you, too, and I hate when people go after you, because you speak the truth, and people don't like that. People don't like, you know what? They don't like to know. They don't like to get messy. You know what? They don't like it.
Patty, you're a tough bird. I'm a tough buzzard. I'm good. I'm good with it. They've already called me everything they could possibly call me, so it doesn't really bother me. But unfortunately, when they resort to things like, oh, Stearns is really a closet anti-Semite, you know, come on, that's an uninformed opinion. And you can't really debate or talk to people like that.
No, they're all ignorant. And you know what? He will, like I said, he's got a lot to do in 3 years, and he's doing it all real quick. That's why he's doing everything quick, because he knows if anything can happen, like if the midterms. Midterms can go straight to the Democrats again. You know that, Todd.
Oh, look, and we're going to get into that in the next hour, Patty. I truly believe now that the Republicans are intentionally slow marching President Trump's agenda. That's the only explanation. To this day, to this hour, there have been only 5 pieces of legislation coming out of Congress that have made it to the president's desk. And that's just unacceptable. Patty, it's good hearing from you, my friend.
Hey, I love you, Todd. Thank God. Right. God bless you, and God bless Dylan, everybody. You know what? You guys are so good to me.
Well,
I want to thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're very kind to say that, Patty. You hang in there, and don't be a stranger. 901-260-5926. We love Patty. We love all of our great listeners. And for all of our new friends in the Texas Panhandle and in Western Oklahoma and New Mexico, that's how we operate here. So, you know, yes, you tune in to hear my take on things, but we also open up the phone lines because I want to hear what you folks are thinking as well. And we also care. And so when our radio family's going through something, we're all in it together. By the way, you talk about taking a stand for people, and I keep coming back to our friends at Patriot Mobile, and they are doing some incredible work out there. First of all, a lot of people don't realize the support they give to our veterans and our first responders. But a portion of every dollar from your cell phone bill, if you're with Patriot Mobile, a portion of every dollar goes towards supporting organizations that share our Christian conservative values. And Patriot Mobile has been out there. They support the Second Amendment. They are pro-life. Are you ready for this? In just last year, they donated $2 million to conservative Christian causes. That's saying something. So when you are looking for a brand new cell phone service, I want to encourage you to check out patriotmobile.com/Todd. Again, that special website address just for our listeners, patriotmobile.com/Todd. You're going to see my face there, and you're going to see all sorts of great information. They have so many different plans. You can buy a new phone. You can keep your current phone. You can also check their coverage areas. And if you use the promo code Todd, they're going to give you free activation. Again, patriotmobile.com/Todd. And go check them out, folks. And we talk about taking a stand here. And I'm just so thankful for Glenn Story and the great team at Patriot Mobile, because every single day they're putting it on the line and they're taking a stand as well. We'll be right back. All right. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think you'll even be able to meet Dylan at the big book launch party. I can tell you this. Dylan, we really wanted to do an event that would be patriotic. I've got to start shutting off my phone. Somebody's got to yell at me before the, so my apologies there. I've got people dinging me all over the place. Anyway, our church has a chef, and this guy is off the charts. Our Wednesday night church suppers, sweet mercy. I've heard people speak in tongues, which is very unusual at a Baptist church. But it's the food. It's that good.
I've heard really good things about your chef.
So we're doing like Wagyu, the Wagyu beef sliders. So I said, here's what I want. I want an upscale, like we're doing heavy hors d'oeuvres. So I said, I want an upscale, like 4th of July celebration. Mm-hmm. So we're expecting about 200 people. And but we're going to have tons of – nobody ever goes away hungry at our events.
Yeah, I'm hungry right now, actually.
Right? Exactly.
I'm like, move it up a couple days.
Well, we do a pre-book launch.
I want the Wagyu sliders there at the pre-book launch.
That's right. Just pull up a chair. Mm-hmm. You got to get there early. So you know how it is. Whenever you go to like a meeting and somebody always, everybody brings a covered dish, mm-hmm. and it's always the beef. That's the first to go.
First come, first serve.
You got to get on that action quickly. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, we would love to have you join us. And people are just like, this is the coolest book cover. And I will tell the story as we get on book launch day. I will tell the story of the book cover. But one of the things that we did, Michelle Cox is my co-author, and we've written two devotion books together. And one of the things we wanted to do was really encourage people and tell stories about American history that maybe people didn't know about. And it's just fascinating, some of the stories we discovered, and also how deeply, how devout many of our presidents happen to be, including Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, and Donald Trump. And I think people are going to come away just feeling good about the country and just a reminder of how much God has blessed America. We're trying to figure out, we're working out if we can get a bluegrass band. I heard a local bluegrass. I always love having live music at our events, and we did R&B one year, and man, that was crushing it. Remember that? We were at the Rooftop Hotel.
Oh, yeah. The saxophone was going off, though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
You know, Parker May, who's back from college, mm-hmm. our intern, our annual intern, even he was dancing up there. I saw him tapping his toe.
Even Baptists can dance with a saxophone playing.
You got that right. So it was a great R&B band. So we're thinking maybe bluegrass?
It's a little bit more fitting, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's a patriotic. We want to kind of do a pre-4th of July celebration party. Is what it is. So you're going to be able to meet a lot of the folks that you hear on the show. I know Dylan will be there. I think Ben Dieter's coming back from Washington, trying to get Grace Baker back. So we may just have a big old family reunion. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you would like to attend, well, we just need your information, and you can give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Also, if you join the Todd Starnes Radio Show fan group on Facebook, we've got all the information posted there as well. All right, folks, hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. So here we are 6 days later, and we have been sounding the alarm on this radio program for the past 6 days. 6 days ago, you had three members of Congress, Democrats. They stormed a federal immigration detention facility in Newark, New Jersey. Three Democrat members of Congress, all from New Jersey. The only person arrested, by the way, was the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, also a Democrat. But what he did paled in comparison to LaMonica McIver, who makes Jasmine Crockett look like Condoleezza Rice. I mean, she's a far leftist. And LaMonica got in there, and you've seen the videos. We've got it up on our social media pages. The woman in red looks like Madea going in there and throwing around people. She physically attacked a federal agent. We think it was an ICE agent, and they stormed the facility. Dare I say, insurrection, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, we've been calling for Congress to do something. First of all, those people need to be arrested. Number two, those people need to be censured. Number three, they need to be removed from their committees in Congress. We've been just throwing out all sorts of options for House leadership here, but nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to do anything about it. As a matter of fact, radio silence for the past 6 days from Speaker Mike Johnson. By the way, but I'll just share this with you. But when I call these people out, they won't come on the radio program, but they will call me privately and give me the what for. They do it all the time. I'll tell you, there's a certain senator from a certain Midwestern state that kind of looks like a pot. And I'm not going to tell you the name of this state, but they actually were offended by a tweet I wrote because I pointed out when it came to due process, this particular U.S. senator's policy was put America last. Oh, they get very upset by my tweets. So anyway, we just got word moments ago that Speaker Johnson finally addressed the conversation. We're going to play this, and then we're going to bring in a very special guest in studio.
As you all know, three Democrat members of Congress got into a physical altercation with our ICE agents. I mean, outside the Delaney Hall Detention Center in New Jersey, what a spectacle that was. What a horrible display for our children to see, right? Amid a long list of shameful and embarrassing episodes this year, that altercation, I think it takes the cake. I think it's a new low for congressional Democrats. Instead of condemning the action, of course, the Democrat leadership in the House sent out a statement of support. My friend Hakeem Jeffries said, quote, "We will never bend the knee." To bend the knee to what, Hakeem? To ICE? Come on. The reason the Democrats were even at the detention facility is equally concerning. The purpose was they were there demanding to shut down the detention facility. Now, look, here's who's housed in the detention facility. Violent gang members, rapists, and murderers. They want to shut it down. We already know the Democrats support open borders. They support MS-13 gang members. They go visit them in jail. They want to allow illegals to vote, so many of them. But this is a new low. Republicans want to detain and deport criminal illegal aliens. Democrats want to empty the jails. Could you have a stronger contrast than that right there? We don't need less detention beds and facilities. We need much more. And that behavior is just unacceptable. We're grateful to U.S. Attorney Alina Haba in New Jersey. She's opened an investigation into this matter, and that legal process will play out. We're having conversations. We had them this morning in the House Republican Conference meeting this morning about appropriate action that we need to take here to address that inappropriate behavior, the wildly inappropriate behavior, and we will do that.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the Speaker of the House. You know what he did not do? He did not announce any sort of a punishment for these members of Congress. Well, I want to bring into the conversation a great Republican. He is one of the national committeemen from the great state of Tennessee, Luke Symbol. Luke, good to have you with us on the show today.
Todd, thank you for having me. And I have a suggestion for House leadership. I think they should put Todd Starnes in charge of their PR, because you better believe we would have had a heck of a lot more activity last week in the House over this nonsense had you been in charge. At least we would have gotten a strong statement. Really ridiculous how these Democrat Congress people are acting. In some ways, I love it because I think they are so out of touch with the American people that they look completely ridiculous. And I think we're going to see that here in the midterms. The American people are not with them on this illegal immigration issues, the defending of criminal illegal aliens. Ridiculous. But House leadership, we have an opportunity here. The news cycle moves fast. Let's get on it.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. It's not like there's much that needs to be investigated. We have body cam footage that shows what the lawmakers did.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read this to you. This is a statement from Mike Johnson. He says, the horrifying behavior from the members involved in the altercation with ICE this weekend will not be tolerated. All options are on the table to address this in the House. But the reality is, they are being tolerated.
Right.
We're 6 days out, and this is the first time we're hearing the speaker say something.
The next day, I would have moved to censure them. I would have removed them from their committee assignments. I would have blasted it across national news. And look, even what we learned from Trump is that even if the mainstream media is being negative towards our actions, right, maybe Mike Johnson would have gotten a little bit of bad press from the mainstream media, the vast majority of Americans see that and they agree with it. They think that how these Democrats are acting is ridiculous. And again, if Democrats continue this, I think we are going to see some positive movement for Republicans in the midterms, which is not what typically happens. Typically, there's a swing away from whichever party holds the White House. But I just can't see. The American people are so far removed from how Democrats are acting.
From a national perspective, because I'm with you, and that is a concern. Is that it's always, I mean, the traditions are that the minority party gains ground in the Congress in the midterms. So you're pretty confident that if we're able to follow through on the agenda here, we're going to pick up seats possibly.
Yes, follow through on the agenda. Hit back hard when necessary. Hold these folks accountable. Democrats are acting ridiculous. They are literally defending rapists, murderers, gang members who should not be in our country in the first place. The American people want deportations. During Trump's campaign, we saw signs everywhere that said mass deportations now. If you are in this country illegally, Americans are saying it's time to get you out. It's time to reassess where we are as a country. Let's assimilate folks who have moved here legally, and let's get these criminals out of our country. And look, Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot. And like I said, I think we're going to see that in the midterms.
Luke Symbol with the Republican Party also serves in the Shelby County Republican Party in the Memphis area. Luke, late yesterday, Breitbart reporting that Congressman Andy Ogles sort of spearheaded an effort to write a letter, many other members of Congress signing on to this, 16 of his colleagues, calling on the Congress to really put it into gear. He says the problem is we're spending more time on vacation and less time in the office, and we need to get busy. We need to get cracking, passing President Trump's executive orders and getting those codified.
Yeah, we have got to codify these executive orders so that one day when Trump is not in the White House, when we do not have a president as fantastic as Donald Trump, then we can continue these policies that are so popular and necessary for the American people. It is really, really important that whenever we have a Democrat, can you imagine if Kamala Harris were to be president one day, how these executive orders would change? We've got to codify it. It's popular with the American people. I want to see that big, beautiful bill. But if you can't get the big, beautiful bill, then let's start passing a lot of small bills, right?
Yeah, we've got to. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really is
start acting.
That point. And by the way, kudos to Congressman David Kustoff on House Ways and Means, and they worked through the night to get that through.
I have some friends who work for him, and they were in that room through the night drinking a lot of coffee, a lot of Monsters, popping those Zins or Alps just to stay awake. I think they're working hard. We're going to see something on this very soon from what I'm hearing. Congress has a Republicans in Congress have a real opportunity here to fulfill the mandate that was given in Trump's landslide election.
Can we talk about the Democrats for just a moment?
I love it.
This is great. So David Hogg, beta male, but he's as manly as they get, you know, right? I mean, you've got Jazz Hands, the governor Jazz Hands right. over there in Minnesota. So part of me, I really want to feel bad for this little piglet, but it's just, I'm having a hard time, but David Hogg learned a very important lesson. Yes, he checks off every single box, Luke, except for two. He's white and he's a dude. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, he's literally being pushed out of his leadership position right now.
It's amazing. Now, is this an insurrection within the Democrat Party that they are overturning their party leadership elections? Apparently democracy only matters when they're getting what they want or not getting what they do. It's amazing to me. They're in disarray, and it's emblematic of how whenever they're in charge of anything, it's disarray, confusion, chaos, inefficiency. The same thing's happening in the Democrat Party.
You know, when you think about it, though, and you've got James Carville out there, mm-hmm. and he is sounding the alarm. You know, he went to war with David Hogg and realized, uh-oh, wait a second, he may be the saving grace. As horrible of a human being as David Hogg is, he may be the saving grace for the Democrats, keeping, you know, some semblance of white people in the party. But it's over, I think.
Especially when you look at the working class, the Democrat Party has abandoned any sort of care for the working class. James Carville has been trying to raise that point now for the past couple of years. It's very interesting to me that it appears that the Democrat Party has doubled down on their identity politics that I think people were so fed up with, and that's why we saw the tidal wave of support for Donald Trump here in 2024. And I think people are really, really sick of it. They no longer live in 2018. They no longer live in 2015 when a lot of this nonsense was going on. But David Hogg represents a doubling down, and we'll see what happens. But again, it's chaos over at the Democrat Party, and it's emblematic of how they run anything.
Well, the argument there is that role, his job, that vice chair position, should have gone to a female person of color.
Oh.
And that's the big problem. So that's why he's being ousted, is that he's a white guy.
Yeah, you cannot be white in the Democrat Party anymore.
No. And then you got Pete Buttigieg, and he's out there. And Buttigieg is trying. They know they've got a problem because guess what? He stopped chest feeding the child.
Oh, did he?
That he bought. And
all right.
Now he's growing a beard.
Okay.
So he's trying. So now he looks like a beta male with really bad facial hair.
It's just not working. We all see
it's
through it.
Working.
Just like Tim Walz with his floppy hand gestures, trying to say he's the manly man who can fix your car and he can go out hunting. And it's all an act. It's so obvious. Nobody believes it, and we see right through it.
I think it's great. But I was watching I'm a huge documentary guy,
okay.
and especially political documentaries. And James Carville's got one out.
Okay.
On HBO Max. And it's really how he started. I mean, the guy was, if it hadn't been for the Bill Clinton victory, mm-hmm. he would have been kicked right out of politics because he had lost every single race leading up to the Bill Clinton presidency. And that was the one he had to win, and he did.
Well, he did win, and that was back when Democrats gave a little bit of care to those who made under $300,000 a year or were white. I look at representative like Barbara Jordan, for example, when you look at the Democrats' old immigration policies, how they really cared about protecting American workers from depressed wages due to mass migration and illegal immigration and low-skilled workers. They've abandoned all of that. It's amazing. They're unrecognizable.
Bill Clinton deported more illegals from American soil than any other American president. 14 million.
He understood what it did to the farm workers who were suddenly having to compete for pennies on the dollar for wages. It's Donald Trump has transformed the Republican Party into being very clear. We care about you, working man and woman, and the Democrat Party has abandoned it.
All right. Can you stick around for us another segment? All right. Hang tight, everybody. We've got to take a quick break here. If you're having to grade Congress right now, what grade would you give them? Andy Ogle says it's time to stop vacations. We've got to get down to business, and we've got to push the president's agenda through. Curious to hear your thoughts on this, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Yeah.
welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Happy to have with us Republican strategist Luke Symbol. And Luke, one of the things that we've been really excited about is making sure that school board races are indeed partisan. And
yes,
we've been hearing from all over the country how important that is and how it's really revolutionized school boards. And I know that you guys in the Memphis area, you spearheaded that effort as well.
We did. You know, Tennessee passed a law a couple of years ago that allowed local Republican parties or Democrat parties to call for partisan primaries in their school boards. And we've really seen great success in this across the country. When you look at Florida flipping a lot of their school boards to conservative, Tennessee has started to do the same. A lot of these school boards that in rural areas that had Democrat-controlled school boards or Democrat majorities have now switched to Republican majorities, and they're turning their districts around. And here in Shelby County, where Memphis is located, as you know, Todd, as a resident, it's a majority Democrat county, but we have municipal school districts in the suburbs where Republicans turn out 75% of the vote. People vote Republicans. And so we knew we had closet Democrats on these school boards only because it was a nonpartisan race. So our local Republican Party about a month or two ago passed partisan school board primaries. We are going to work very, very hard and to elect Republicans in our majority Republican suburbs, and we think it's going to have a big impact.
I think it's going to be huge, and I know that you guys have also really seen a surge in membership in the Republican Party. And again, this is a Democrat, heavily Democrat area, but you guys, what are the numbers now? It's pretty remarkable.
We had a record-breaking membership drive in the history of the party. We raised over $60,000 in 1 month, which, by the way, folks, is a lot of money for a county party to raise. We don't get money from the national or state Republican parties. You have to raise it yourself. And because we're willing to cause a little bit of controversy, do things differently, we had record membership and record fundraising. And I encourage Republican parties across the country, don't be afraid to speak out. Donald Trump has taught us that a little bit of bad press actually just spreads our message that most people reading the press agree with. So don't be afraid to speak out. You're going to see growth. And we've got to start fighting for the values that are important to folks in our community. And that really starts at the school board level.
No, I think you're 1,000% right there. And every single race is important. And if we're returning control of our schools from Washington back to the local communities, that's why it matters. And we need to know, especially in the suburbs, who's actually on those school boards. What do they believe in?
You're exactly right. And so I'm really excited to see us start switching these school boards back to Republican values. And look, what are Republican values? Republican values are simply, we let parents decide the values of their children. We're going to teach you to read and write, but parents get to decide what their children are taught and the worldview that their children are taught.
All right, Luke Symbol, we're going to get you back on. Luke, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me,
Todd.
Welcome
to the show. All right. Luke Symbol, great national Republican strategist. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, folks, in the break, head over to the website. And if you haven't done so, download our free app. You're going to love it. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. We have, by the way, don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax, we have a great lineup. We're going to be talking to a state lawmaker out of Colorado. They are doing their best, gut-level best, to protect women and their bathrooms there at the state capitol. Just insane, the reports coming out of there. Also, Congressman Michael Cloud from Texas is going to join us to talk about President Trump's amazing trip to the Middle East. By the way, some other big news, Iran threatening to wipe Israel off the map and destroy America. UN inspectors say Iran close to getting nuclear weapons, but President Trump says he will not allow that to happen. He's even moved 2 aircraft carriers to the area. It is a big story this week, and Newsmax's Rob Finnerty covering it all this week, exposing the real threat. Tune in 8 o'clock Eastern tonight for Rob's series called Stop Iran. Find out Trump's secret plan to fix all of it. You can watch Finnerty on Newsmax on all major cable systems. President Trump says he watches Newsmax all the time, and you should too. You can download the free Newsmax app. I did that. You can do it on your smartphone, and you can sign up for Newsmax Plus to watch it anytime, anywhere. Millions are making the switch to Newsmax because it's real news for real people. All right, President Trump making some headlines in the world of college athletics. And Dylan, I know you're our resident huge sports guru, and also back from college, our beloved intern, Parker the intern, who also serves as a basket. You manage a basketball team. I don't know if we want to name the college, but are we allowed to? So basketball manager at Samford University, and you're back home for summer break.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Always awesome to be back at KWM.
All right. Are you learning? Are you getting like management skills? Do you push around the players? Do they follow your directions? How does that work?
It's a little bit of everything. Sometimes when people ask me what I do, I just say yes, because it's a lot of everything, but it's a lot of fun, a lot of player development, helping our players get better, helping out the coaches with whatever we need, game preparation.
So, guys, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, because Charlie Baker, who is a long time, he's a kind of a moderate Republican out of Massachusetts, former governor there, now NCAA president, and he says that he is very open to the idea about President Trump putting together a commission to figure out, quite frankly, what to do with the NIL. I know, look, Nick Saban was all over this when Trump came to graduation in Tuscaloosa. Guys, does NIL need to be fixed?
Something's got to change, because I think at its forefront, it was a great idea. Let players and athletes make money off their social media, get a brand deal, stuff like that. That's all good in heart. But when it comes to where we are now, and it's just, how much can we spend to buy a certain player?
Dylan, here's what gets me. You had Charlie Baker, who's head of the NCAA. I mean, he's the decision maker. He says, I'm up for anything that can help us to get somewhere. That does not exude confidence to me.
No, but I agree with Parker. I mean, it was fine at first. And, you know, they started making, you know, video games now, because they got the NCAA 25, you know, football game. 26 is coming out. So they may have to do away with that, but if it helps the sport, you know, help us get back to a little bit more tried and true, like recruitment out of college, you know, money's not really involved that much, I'm all for it.
Are they recruiting, you know, college kids like when they're in high school now, middle school? I've heard, you know, reports that, I mean, they're going after kids before they even graduate.
Yeah, and it's really, I think NIL has really hurt the high school kids. Because you see now the transfer portal is such a big deal because of NIL, to where most coaches are looking towards the portal instead of high school. You'll see most college programs take, especially in a basketball sense, only 2 to 3 freshmen a year, just because the emphasis is such on the transfer portal, because you can get better talent likely in the portal.
Now, what about you guys? What division is Samford?
Division I.
All right. NCAA as well, or you got? I know it's a Christian school.
Yeah, NCAA. We actually went to March Madness 2 years ago.
I wrote you guys down. I did that out of loyalty to you, Parker, and I got my butt handed to me.
It was a brutal call. 4-point game.
It's terrible.
Still proud of that.
But, you know, so are you guys, I mean, because you don't have the money of, say, an Ole Miss or a Tennessee or Duke, I mean, how is that, you know, how can other teams from smaller schools compete with, you know, with those bigger schools?
We've seen it, especially in the Southern Conference, the conference that we are in. You've seen where it's a lot of Division II prospects that we're kind of looking at. We've recently have signed a Division II point guard, Jaden Booth, out of Florida Southern. But that's what our conference is doing, because we don't have the money or the resources to go. Especially in the state of Alabama, when you're kind of competing with Auburn, Alabama, UAB, a very good basketball state now that's emerged, it's tough to get the high-level prospects, but you kind of look towards the high school guys. We have 2 guys from Huntsville High School coming in. We have a couple more local guys. We have another local guy from Kentucky, another one from Pinson Valley High School in Birmingham. So you kind of got to look outside the box.
you know, Dylan, you know, the other part of it is just downright loyalty. I hate it for the fan experience because I think that's what's really been impacted here. Like, for example, Baylor, they're losing all of their players on basketball. Nobody's coming back. And so it's hard to really get connected to a team when you've got the team flipping literally every year. Or in the case of, for example, University of Memphis, we, you know, it's happening throughout the entire season.
Yeah, it's rare to see a player stay for 4 years. Like, they're always gone. And, like, part of the fan experience is you get connected to these star players. And nowadays, the star players just go to the best, better team that who can pay them more money. So it's like, you never know who even the players are when you're watching your favorite team.
I think we have to remember that they're student athletes, or at least that's what they should be. They're not anymore. And it's, like Dylan said, it's kind of turning into like a college sports auction house to where like, oh, they can pay me more money, so I'm going to go to them instead of the school that I was at.
That's it. I mean, what UT, Knoxville, they lost their quarterback, right? Where did he go to? He went out west, I think.
He went to UCLA.
UCLA.
And he actually got less money than Tennessee was giving him.
It's ridiculous. But again, if President Trump can bring peace to the Middle East, I think he can fix the NIL. Are we in agreement here on that, guys?
I agree. I completely agree.
All right. Parker May, good to have you back with us, my friend. And we're always excited to get our interns back on the Todd Stern Show. And you're one of our favorites, so mainly because you can talk football.
I appreciate that. I love talking sports.
Very cool. Parker May, everybody, back on the show. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. I'm curious. I know a lot of you folks out there are sports fans. Are you satisfied with the way the NIL is going? And would you like to see President Trump step in and fix this? My concern is this. You have well over 100 years of football tradition, especially. I'm a big football guy, college football. You've got 100 years of tradition. Are we willing to sacrifice all of that now? And what is the solution? Are the kids really supposed to be student athletes? Do we pay them a stipend? Is there some sort of an agreement that you have to stay if you're going to get $1 million or $2 million that you've got to stay all 4 years of your career at a specific school? There've got to be solutions to all of this. Again, our number 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Yeah, I do enjoy the NFL, but there's really nothing quite like college athletics and the tradition and the rivalries and the tailgating. I mean, it really is, it's something. And yeah, I'm partial to the Southeastern Conference, but there are other great conferences that that really do a great job of making that a memorable experience. And I don't want us to lose that in this country. And as Parker and Dylan said, there's got to be a solution here. There's got to be a fix. And if anybody can do it, I think that President Trump is going to be able to do that. I want to play some audio here. This is from Kristi Noem, our Homeland Security Secretary. And she is recounting the events of what transpired on May the 9th at Delaney Hall. Let's take a listen to Cut 8.
There were members of this very committee that took part in an action at Delaney Hall on May 9th that need to be addressed. I served as a member of Congress in this body for 8 years, and I understand the importance of congressional oversight. What happened on May 9th was not oversight. It was a political stunt that put the safety of our law enforcement officers, our agents, our staff, and our detainees at risk. Here are the facts. As a vehicle approached the security gate at Delaney Hall Detention Center, a mob of protesters, including three members of Congress, stormed the gate and they trespassed into the detention facility. We have footage of those members of Congress slamming their bodies into our law enforcement officers, shoving them, screaming profanities in their faces, striking them with their fists, and otherwise assaulting law enforcement. The behavior was lawlessness, and it was beneath this body. Members of Congress should not break into detention centers or federal facilities. Had these members requested a tour, we certainly would have facilitated a tour. As the body knows, there are proper protocols and there are procedures that must be abided by. These congressional members and staff visit our facilities all of the time, and these members could follow the policies that have been in place, and they would have been followed. We would have facilitated a tour of this important facility. However, even after these members assaulted our federal law enforcement officers, we still provided them with a tour of that facility. I'm glad that at their press conference following the tour, these members acknowledged that Delaney Hall is in good condition and meets deferral standards. Charges made by these politicians that Delaney does not have the proper permitting is false. We have valid permits and inspections for plumbing and electricity and fire codes that have been cleared. Lastly, I'd like to remind Americans and everyone in this body who is detained in this detention facility are murderers, rapists, known terrorists, MS-13 gang members, drug traffickers, and other heinous actors. I hope that those members of Congress will so passionately protest on behalf of the American victims that they were elected to represent, and not just violent criminals who are in this country illegally.
Yeah, good for you, Kristi Noem. But again, why do we need all the testimony? Why do we need all of this? Go and arrest the people. We know what they did. And if it was anybody else, they would already be in jail. And that's what really bothers me about all of this, because I'm not sure these people are really serious about bringing all of these folks to justice. I just don't see that. By the way, MTG, things got a little heated during this committee hearing. MTG wanted to enter into the record a post from the Attorney General stating that Abrego Garcia, remember the Maryland man who is really from El Salvador and he's living here illegally, that he is an MS-13 gang member. Let's take a listen.
An appellate board agreed. ICE officers
agreed. You are misstating what the
reliable
Mr. Goldman,
informant.
The clock is not yours right now. She has the floor. Please continue answering the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A Maryland County...
She's not answering the question, sir. No, she's going to answer the question, and then you can object
can
to her answer.
Make sure that she answers the question?
Finish answer. You just said, please, finish your answer.
A Maryland County Police gang unit agreed that he's MS-13. A reliable, confidential informant agreed that he's MS-13. ICE officers agreed that he's MS-13. An immigration judge agreed that he's MS-13. An appellate board agreed that Kilmar Abrego Garcia, your Maryland man, is MS-13.
Okay. I have the floor. What do you want to say?
I object because she is misstating the record and the facts. That is not accurate, and therefore I object to that being introduced.
Mr. Chairman,
can I explain? You let her go on.
You go ahead.
There is no final court order establishing that he's a member. Maybe he is. So you should put all that evidence before a judge. And if he is MS-13, he should be deported. That's what we're talking about. But you're misstating what all of that evidence is.
No, I think I'm going to make a point here. You basically just read what the Attorney General said, correct?
Yes, sir.
You didn't assert that this was a court order, did you? Did you assert that this was a court order?
I read the Attorney General of the United States.
And you have a right on our committee to submit for unanimous consent or a vote if we want to put it to a vote. This for the record, correct? Is that it?
Yes.
That is correct. Okay,
Mr. Chairman, can I review what she is saying?
No, okay. She can submit some.
Enough of this. All right. So you get an idea. This is the level of contention. The Democrats' strategy here is to scream and yell to try and stop the entire Trump agenda. That is going to completely fail. The Democrats they've got nothing to stand on here, folks. And the Democrat Party is really in the throes of chaos. Now, I want to go back to something we were talking about where you had James Carville, and James Carville, who is a classic liberal, James Carville is also a shrewd political operative for the left, but they're not paying attention to him. Carville is trying to tell them that the current path forward, and by the way, it was our Jasmine Crockett from Texas. Chuck in. Chuckin' and jiving. Ow! Should go. Jasmine Crockett. What did she say? She said about the Democrat Party. She said, I tell you, I tell you, them folks that they're running the Democrat Party, they just want white boys. They want safe white boys in leadership. Remember that? She just said that a few days ago. That, that the Democrats only want safe white boys. So we are still trying to figure out who she was talking about. Is it Gavin Newsom? Is it Pete Buttigieg? Or is it Little Davy Hogg? And it turned out that Little Davy was the sacrificial piglet. He really was. And David Hogg is getting whacked. And James Carville is out there saying, you cannot, it is impossible to win elections if you are going to tell all the white men of America that you are no longer welcome in our party. I mean, but nobody's listening to him. Well, I'm just telling you right here, right now, we can't be having Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg is not a man. We need a man, somebody who can take it to the interns in the Oval Office like old Billy did, Billy Clinton back in the day. But they're not listening to him. No, instead, I mean, in all seriousness, Pete Buttigieg is literally laying the groundwork as you and I speak here together to be the next president of the United States. And that's why he's growing facial hair. That's why he stopped chest feeding the child that he bought. I'm just telling you, this is... No, I just... That's the reality of it. It's a troubling thing. I mean, ladies, let's get real. Let's talk to the ladies of America for just a moment. Can we just have that conversation? Ladies, would you rather date a Democrat man or a Republican man? And I believe if the ladies of America were honest, they would say 102% they would date a Republican man, somebody who could carry them out of a burning building, somebody who would provide for them, somebody who pees standing up. I'm just saying. At the end of the day, that's who I think the Republican women of America, I think even Democrat women want to marry a Republican man. I'm just saying. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. Oh, by the way, I've got to play this audio for you. So the Episcopal Church, they don't like you white people. Hate to break it to you. I hear they serve one heck of a communion, but the Episcopalians, what's the joke? Wherever there's one or more Episcopalians, there is a fifth. That's a good joke. Anyway, the Episcopal Church now saying that they will no longer use money to help settle white refugees from South Africa. This is the bishop of the Episcopal Church, Sean Rowe. Take a listen.
We can't be ourselves in the Episcopal Church and take the step of resettling white Afrikaners from South Africa. Our church has a long commitment to racial justice and reconciliation. And we have historic ties with the Anglican Church of South Africa. Desmond Tutu is a part of, has been a partner in this work for us. So we're just not able to take this step. It's not in line with anything that we're about.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. look, the good news here is that fortunately the several dozen South African refugees who were brought to America are safe now, and they will not be subjected to just horrible atrocities there in their home country. And what does it say about the Episcopal Church that they are specifically not helping these refugees because of the color of their skin? It's just really, really tragic. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Very excited to bring on our next guest. And there is a great website out there, CatholicVote.com. www.mfs.org. I would encourage you to go and check this out, especially if you are a Catholic. I think you need to find out the great work they're doing and the great advocacy work that they're doing at Catholic Vote. And I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And from the Catholic Vote, we have our good friend Josh Mercer. Josh, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing pretty good. I just actually got back from Rome. We were doing some live media hits and reporting there with the new American Pope. So pretty exciting time for Catholics in the United States.
Well, it is. And I want to get to that in just a moment. I know that you guys have a piece up on Catholic Charities in Chicago area. And, you know, there's been a lot of consternation about the work of some of these charity groups and, you know, the work they are doing in this country, and not just about immigration, but also about the pro-life movement.
Right. I mean, obviously, we got into this a little bit last year. We made FOIA requests with regards to immigration to the Department of Health, DHS and HHS, just to find out what exactly was the work that they were doing with, you know, this was during the Biden administration, of course, what they were doing with these NGOs, including, you know, Catholic Charities. We just want to know what was going on. We just want to have an understanding where the money was going to and what was happening with it. And people said, how could you sue Catholic Charities? How could you sue the nuns? And I'm like, we're not suing the nuns. We just wanted to get information from our own government on what exactly they were doing. Every taxpayer in the United States would like to know what our government was doing during the Biden administration when it came to the border. So that's what we were involved with there. And obviously, you know, there's Catholic Charities in Chicago is, you know, I don't want to get into it too much here, but we just think sunlight's the best disinfectant.
Yeah, completely agree there. And again, Catholic Vote is America's top Catholic advocacy organization, and they are fighting for faith, family, and freedom. CatholicVote.org. Josh, you mentioned that you were just back from Rome, and what's your take so far on the new Pope? A lot of folks are wondering where he is on, I would say, they call it the political spectrum, but I would also throw in the culture spectrum as well.
Well, on the culture's perspective, I mean, he's quite clear. I mean, he actually, when he was a student at Villanova, started a pro-life group, Villanovans for Life. So he's. I mean, that should be no shock to us that the Pope is pro-life and that, you know, Pope Francis was pro-life. No, there's no problem on that issue at all. And he's also been against radical gender ideology and that kind of stuff, just like Francis was. So, again, no problems there. On the economic front, you know, if you're a hardcore libertarian, maybe you don't like the Catholic Church or the Pope, so I can understand that. But his choice of the name Leo is pretty interesting because, you know, Pope Leo, the previous Pope Leo was in the late 1800s, and there was the rise of communism with the Industrial Revolution. Communism said to the workers, we're your answer. And the Catholic Church and Pope Leo XIII back in the 19th century said, no, socialism is wrong. It does, you know, there is a right to private property. The market is good. You just can't worship the market. And that's, we think, well in line with what Catholic teaching is all about. Now we're on the cusp here in the 21st century of, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, and so the reason why this Pope took the name Leo is because he sees another potential sea change, a lot of workers that might get displaced, and he wants to be able to say, look, socialism isn't the answer, but being dominated by, you know, global elites isn't the answer either. So, you know, you might, a pure free market person might have some problems with it, but I think that sounds like a good recipe for success in the future on the economic front.
You know, a lot of people have been pointing out some of his, a lot of his opposition to President Trump on, for example, the immigration issue. Where do you guys see that going?
Well, I think he's going to be significantly better than Pope Francis will on this issue. I mean, Pope Francis said on the airplane, a Christian doesn't build walls, and that was, you know, throwing shade at President Trump. This Pope is much more even-keeled in his approach. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to be impulsive. He's not going to lash out. He's, you know, and he does recognize that, you know, host countries have an ability to regulate their population. So on that, he seems more like Pope Benedict, where, you know, he's understanding that people want to flee persecution, but that doesn't mean you have to open the door to everybody. I think that's going to be much more agreeable to Americans.
I've been following with great interest over the past couple of years what looks to be a significant return, especially among Generation Z Catholics, back to the traditions of the faith, traditional roles within the family. Are you guys seeing that and monitoring that at Catholic Vote?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, overall, you know, young people in their 20s are moving to the right, especially men. In the Catholic Church, we're seeing a lot more, as you say, interest in more traditional ways, some going with the Latin Mass, others just being conservative in the way they do things. So, you know, we've noticed that trend. It's starting to escalate because people look at the world right now and there's a lot of, you know, elites that just want you addicted to the dopamine of your phones and to porn and video games. And a lot of young men are saying, there's got to be something more than this. We're meant for more. And the Catholic Church and Christianity in general has an answer for that. Yeah, you were made in the likeness and image of God. You were called to be a creator. You were called to be a builder. You're not called to just sit on the sidelines, sit on your couch, and get addicted to dope. I mean, there's more to life.
No, I think you're right about that. But again, I'm trying to understand why. You know, what is it that's compelling these kids? Because in a lot of cases, they're not being taught that, you know, at their schools. So I'm just wondering, what's behind this push to become more traditional?
I mean, I just think that, you know, we're talking about a generation. You know, I did not have, you know, I'm 48 or whatever. I did not grow up with mobile phones, cell phones, you know, ubiquitous, you know, digital age, right? You know, I still kind of remember, you know, reruns and stuff like that, you know. But we're talking about 15, 20 years now of people being immersed in their smartphones, young kids being exposed to all sorts of horrible things on the internet. And I just feel like this generation says, you know, there's got to be more to this than just, you know, pornography and, you know, video games and this kind of stuff. And so there are alternative voices out there. You know, Joe Rogan, there's a reason why Donald Trump went on Joe Rogan's show. He was able to reach millions of young men that have, you know, that he's attracted as an audience. I mean, Joe Rogan is not a knuckle-dragging right-winger. The guy used to be a Democrat, but he moved to the right as well. And people are like, you know, this isn't adding up. We're sick and tired of the woke stuff. We're sick and tired of, you know, white liberal guilt. There's got to be a different answer out there. And so I do feel like the younger generation, they may not get it from their K-12 schools. They may not get it from their colleges. But they're looking for alternative voices. And, you know, it's a good sign to see, I think.
I think it's a great sign. I really do. And it's very encouraging. And I suspect that it is going to be the saving grace of this country when it's all said and done. Josh Mercer here with us from Catholic Vote, catholicvote.org. Josh, I'm reading this from your website. This is fascinating. And I suspect we're going to see more stories like this. Apparently, a pizza restaurant in the Pope's childhood home, which would be Homewood, Illinois, they have named a pizza after the Pope. They're calling it Poparoni Pizza. I guess it was his favorite pizza back in the day. So there you go. And they've even set up the Pope's table. There you go. So
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, actually, my boss, Brian Birch, is president of Catholic Vote. He's also, you know, a Chicago Catholic, and he got nominated by President Trump to be ambassador to the Holy See, you know, to go to the Vatican. And just this week, Democrats blocked the nomination. So it's just one of those things where Democrats can't help it. They've been blocking every single nominee. And so the senator from Missouri, the great Eric Schmidt, like, this is kind of, I mean, I'm paraphrasing him. He says, this is crazy. We have the installation of a new pope coming up on Sunday, and the Democrats are blocking the United States from having their representative approved by the Senate to go to the funeral. It just, again, Democrats will block everything for no reason.
Meanwhile, when a Democrat president is in office, the Republicans, they call it the honorable thing, but they sign off on whoever the president wants. The Democrats do not do that when the Republican presidents are in office. And it's just really pathetic, but it also shows you that everything is about politics with these people.
I suppose so. I think what ends up happening is Republicans say, I don't think this is a good idea. It might come back to haunt you. And that's what Mitch McConnell warned them about. Now, I'm not the biggest Mitch McConnell fan in the world, but, you know, the Democrats kept breaking all these norms. And they would just, well, if we can do it, let's do it. And never to think about the future. And they would keep doing that. They'd filibuster every judicial nominee George W. Bush put up. And then finally, you know, what comes around goes around. And then, you know, Scalia dies when Trump is, I mean, when Obama's president. And you know what? We have this, Mitch McConnell said, we'll just keep this seat open. And I think that's a major reason why Donald Trump won his first election in 2016. So, you know, they keep pushing back, and we warn them about breaking these norms and stuff like this. But then, hey, you know what? We'll just wait and see what happens. You know, time has a way of playing itself out on this.
That's true. It's a good point. All right, Josh, we're going to get you back on. Love what you guys are doing at Catholic Vote, and it is so vitally important to the nation. And thank you for the great work you guys do.
Oh, and thank you for you. Your commentary is indispensable. God bless your work.
Well, thank you, Josh. Appreciate that. Josh Mercer, everybody, with Catholic Vote, catholicvote.org. Got to go read their stuff. I mean, they are on top of everything, especially on the culture issues of the day. So I would encourage you to go in and do that. Dylan, according to this restaurant, you know, it can't be far from where Grace lives now. We should get her. We should get Grace and Merlot, the Dalmatian, to go and check this place out.
I agree.
It's called
pictures.
It's called Aurelio's, and they serve. It's a thin crust pepperoni pizza, which apparently is the Pope's favorite. I'm surprised. I was thinking deep dish in Chicago.
Yeah, you would think, right?
By the way, nobody got my joke. I told a joke on Newsmax the other day. They were talking about the Pope's favorite baseball team, you know, being in the Chicago area. And I said, well, I kind of figured he'd be a Cardinals fan. Nobody got it.
I like that joke.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Anyway, they've set up a table. This is where I'm fascinated. I guess there was a table where then Cardinal Leo, now Pope Leo, would sit. And they've now called that they've officially, I don't know what you do with the holy, they don't do it with holy water, but now it's been christened the Pope's table. And it's got a president's chair from a local church. So does that mean that only the Pope is allowed to eat at the Pope's table? Because I asked that because have you ever been to Buca di Beppo? Buca di Beppo.
Buca di what, whoa?
Buca di Beppo. It's one of the best authentic fake Italian-American restaurants out there. And they serve the meatballs that are about, I mean, you folks know what I'm talking about. They serve the meatballs, which are literally about the size of a cantaloupe. They're huge. And they have the Italian music, and they set it up like you're walking into, like, your nonna's house. So that's what the Italians call their grandmothers. And they have a Pope table.
This is Buca di what?
Buca di Beppo.
Okay.
B-U-C-A. D-E-B-E-P-P-O, Buca di Beppo.
I'm looking it up.
No, you don't believe me. It's a real thing. I guarantee you somebody in our audience has eaten at Buca di Beppo. And by the way, it's all served family style. So you get these massive portions of food. That is my favorite Italian restaurant. But people always tell me, Todd, you know that's not real Italian food. And I'm like, don't bother me. It's like real Italian food to me. Much like Taco Bell is not really, you know, Mexican. That's what they say. So anyway, if you're going to Buca di Beppo and you asked the coveted places to sit around this round table called the Pope's Table, and they literally have a Pope's head in the middle of the table, and that's where they put the pizza. They call it the Pope's Table. No, you don't believe me. I'm telling you, it's a real place. 901-260-5926, our number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Dylan, did you look it up?
I educated myself on Buca di Beppo.
It's pretty impressive.
Their website's interesting to look at. That's all I'll say.
Have you ever seen the TV show Hoarders?
Yes.
So their restaurants are basically the Italian version of Hoarders. They have theme
rooms.
Right
now I'm looking at a bowl of spaghetti surrounded by two baby angels.
Ooh, cherubs.
I don't know if that's biblical, but it looks pretty good.
It's Italian. It's got to be biblical. What I love, though, I didn't realize the Pope, it was actually a Pope room. It wasn't just the Pope table.
Yeah, it's a whole room dedicated. Do you have to make reservations to the Pope room?
You probably do. I mean, I would imagine that it's like quite the honor to be able to eat because you have like literally the Pope chair. So somebody, if it's not just about being in the Pope room, but you're like, you get to sit in the chair. I mean, I don't, do you, that, does that mean you get to bless the meatballs?
Probably means you have to, if you, whether you want to or not.
The weird thing, though, it's the Pope head, which is in a box, and it looks freakishly like a real Pope head. And the Pope is praying. He has his hands clasped. And it rotates. So everybody gets to see.
It rotates.
You're eating. The Pope head rotates.
Gosh, you better finish all your food.
Wasn't there a movie where that happened? Was that The Exorcist?
One of those.
What was that? Yeah, there was a movie where somebody, was it Blair? Oh, who is it? Oh, geez-a-loo.
Wasn't Ratatouille.
No, it wasn't Ratatouille. Golly. I think that's French.
Yeah.
Geez-a-loo. Anyway, I wish we had one in Memphis. We would do a field trip to the, maybe they would let us. Oh, there's one in Nashville. All right, next time we're in Nashville, we're going to Buca di Beppo. All right, got to take a break at a Beppo, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, I know a lot of you folks are getting ready to head out on vacation. This story from the New York Post caught my attention. Travelers are now paying thousands of dollars to have their phones taken away from them on vacation. According to the New York Post, 27% of adults want to be present and spend less time doom scrolling. That's according to a brand new survey from Hilton Hotels. 17% of vacationers are taking things a step further by searching for trips that will force them to unplug and ditch their technology altogether. According to Martin Dunford, the founder of Cool Places, that's a travel booking site, says, we used to have a tag to show which properties had Wi-Fi. Now we're adding a no Wi-Fi tag. Once travelers arrive at their designated hotel room, they'll notice the room is free of any tech. TVs are replaced with board games, and guest devices are kept in a safe by the concierge. No way. Is that true? Would that actually work? I think people would go stir crazy. Instead, guests are forced to take part in complimentary activities like biking and snorkeling. Despite the average rate for a room being a couple of $1,000 a night, guests are willing to pay the fee for a relaxing tech-free trip. So here's a thought here. Why don't you just pay me the $1,000 and I'll hold onto your cell phone for you? According to the New York Post, if people are not looking to spend so much money to travel outside the country, stressed out travelers can stay at the Urban Cowboy Lodge in the Catskills, only a few hours north of New York City. Okay, can we have a conversation about whether or not there are cowboys in New York? At the Urban Cowboy Lodge, a boutique hotel, guests lock their devices in a box for the duration of their stay. Dunford worked with the University of Greenwich to study people's patterns and behavior when they completely disconnect. As expected, they found that at first it's quite the adjustment for people to not have access to technology while they are away. The guests go stir crazy in the first 24 hours, but after 48 hours, they are well-adjusted and start getting into other activities. And at the end of a three-day stay or longer, they find guests may be happy to have their phones back or can be a bit take-it-or-leave-it about it. That's interesting. I find that hard to believe, though. Dylan, could you imagine? I mean, you're about to head out of the country. Would you go unplugged? Can you handle not being in touch with your devices?
Well, I'm going to have to, actually, on this trip. So whether I like it or not. But I think it would be a good thing. You know, when our family goes to vacations out in, like, East Tennessee in the cabins, I mean, you don't have any service or Wi-Fi, so you just kind of enjoy the sounds of nature. So, I mean, it's better for you anyway.
I wonder how many families now require their kids to keep no devices at the dinner table.
Yeah, that'll be something for me. I'll say this right now. So, you know, you got to connect and talk.
Yeah.
Be a family.
Yeah.
Talk about your day. You know?
I don't know. It seems to me I would be one of those stressed out people. I don't think I'd be, what's going on?
You don't need to know. You know, just unplug. You don't need to watch the news, be on Twitter. Just say hi. How's your day going?
Ladies and gentlemen, would you do that? Would you take a vacation where you did not have any of your social, of your devices, of your, you know, your smartphones, no laptops, no desktop, no TV? It's just you and the birds and the critters of the forest. I don't know about that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio for you. You know, it was a long night on Capitol Hill, and people working until the wee hours of the morning, by the way. And one of the lawmakers inadvertently fell asleep. And this is pretty darn funny. Just take a listen to what happened to Congressman Blake Moore from Utah.
Moore. Mr. Moore.
Wakey, wakey.
Mr. Moore, no.
So the poor guy, they were going through the roll call vote, and the poor guy was out cold. Out cold. Congressman Ron Estes from Kansas was laughing at the dude because he was sawing logs right there on live C-SPAN, so three people saw him, but it was still pretty darn funny. So anyway, good for you gotta get in a nap when you can. I mean, it happens. Anyway, the guy was pretty good natured about it, but man, I'm telling you, the lawmakers were falling asleep all over the place. And it was not a pretty look up on Capitol Hill today. Also, remember the guy, the Indian American dude from Michigan who has now filed impeachment proceedings against President Trump? He's back at it again. Here's what he had to say.
But they talk about my hair. They talk about my hair. They talk about my appearance. They talk about where I was born. They talk about everything, my looks. They talk about my age. They talk about why I should be deported back to the country where I was born. They talk about my past business dealings, and they distort my business record. They do everything.
They are doing everything, as he said, everything to to discredit this guy. His name is Sri Thandar, and he is a congressman, Democrat from Michigan. Now, this guy is insane. He's a lunatic. Now, what I find fascinating about this guy, he's in his 60s, and yet he's wearing a hairpiece that is meant for someone who's a teenager. And it's a lot. It kind of, for those of you of a certain age, if you remember the Osmond brothers, Donnie and Marie, it's that kind of hair. It's like a 70s hairstyle thing going on. That's what that was about. So anyway, people, you can't help but not notice, right? That's the thing, is that's the first thing you're drawn to until he starts talking. And then you're thinking, wow, I could use some, I don't know, tandoori chicken for dinner. We're just speaking truth here about this guy. So anyway, it turns out that he came under fire because he apparently is in pharmaceuticals, and he was part of this group that was killing pets like beagles and stuff, and they were doing all these weird experiments. And then I guess he went bankrupt. And then apparently, as far as the story goes, he abandoned all these poor little critters and just left them all to die. And apparently one of the critters escaped and just latched onto the poor guy's head. And that's what we're dealing with now. So anyway, he's very upset that all you people are talking about his hairpiece. You know, at some point, just let nature take its course, sir. Just let it be. Let it be. You know, you're not in the Osmond Brothers band. You're not a Mormon, sir. All right? You not a little bit country. You're not a little bit rock and roll. I'm just saying. I could go for some tandoori chicken, though. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Fair Play, South Carolina. Don on the line. Hey, Don, what's going on?
Do you remember the Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you remember the Herald Tribune Fresh Air Fund, where the Herald Tribune would sponsor a camp upstate New York? They had several camps to get kids out of the city. And then we had the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. I guess that's non-existent today.
Well, I don't know what that what Herald Tribune are you talking about? I'm not familiar.
The New York Herald Tribune.
Oh no,
I 20 years ago.
Oh no. I don't. That's a long time ago, before my time. But you're telling me they would send the kids out of the city and into the countryside?
That's right. Kids that were not very rich or loaded with money. My father, I think, spent $40 and I would go away for 2 weeks. This is in the 60s. And it was to get the inner city kids out of the city, you know, so they'd have some exposure. And then there was the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, 10 Mile River. And several different, and there was a Catholic one also. And I'm going through my memory, but we used to get out. I lived in the city, and that's the only way we ever got upstate New York. There was one called 10 Mile River, which is run by the Boy Scouts. Lake Sebago, we used to go there too. Now, this is in the 60s, but I'm still around to talk about it. And I guess they don't do it today. Do they charge? Start?
I don't know. I don't think they do, Don. I'm not that I'm aware of. I think it's a great idea, though, is, you know, rounding up all the city kids, send them out into the countryside for the summer, and if they come back alive, you know, well, that's great. They're stronger and hardier for it. But yeah, look, I think it's a great idea. But again, today, could those kids survive out in the wilderness without their smartphones or their video games? I don't know.
We didn't have phones then.
Yeah.
We didn't have phones then.
But you survived, though.
We survived. There were no cell phones. I was 14 years old. I went there for 2 years, and you'd sit around a campfire, you know, and you have counselors, and they would tell stories and do all of that. You know, that stuff actually happened. This generation, I don't know, but they're missing it, Todd. Think about it. They're missing it. Sitting around a campfire, no cell phones, books, reading stories. That's what we did in the 60s and in the 50s.
Don, they wouldn't even have a campfire. You know what they do? They pull out their smartphone and they call up that, like, what, Yule log, and they just sit around that.
Really?
Read their text messages.
Do the Boy Scouts still exist, Todd?
No, they're all female now. It's sad. It's sad. I don't even want to talk about what they have to do for merit badges. All right. Don, I'm glad you're in a great mood today, and you took us down memory lane. Wow. Any of you folks remember that? Any of you city folks, did you get rounded up on a bus and shipped out to the middle of the woods? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I don't think I'd be able to survive that. But it is true. Dylan, how many people your age, just let's get real, where's Parker? How many people, Parker, your age, would actually know how to build a campfire in the middle of the woods?
Probably less than 10-15% for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just wondering if I'm, look, let's just say we're all on an airplane together and the plane goes down and in the middle of the forest. You know, I want to make sure we have some older people on that plane who actually know how to, like, you know, make a house out of, you know, like, you know, logs.
I definitely wouldn't be counting on any people my age to lead the survival in that situation.
You don't want Gen Zers on board. It's true. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
The way I would work it with you, I would hold the barbecue ransom. It's either the cell phone or the barbecue. Or the baby back ribs or the pork or whatever. That's what I'd hold over your head. That's how they have to work it with you. Just saying.
Jeez, Lou, Mark from the Villages, throwing down.
Going at the jugular there.
Don't be touching my baby back ribs. Don't be touching them.
Todd, would that work?
No, it wouldn't work. Well, then again, I don't know. Huh.
Depends on how hungry you are.
Well, it depends. Yeah. I mean, are we talking, you know, dry rub? Are we talking central? Yeah. Okay. Maybe so. Maybe so. Jeez. We have a rough audience today. I'm just saying. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we're going to have a lot of fun on Newsmax TV and really do hope that you guys join us for the show. Hey, you know, we've been talking a lot about the president's tariff plan, and it really is frustrating to see my fellow conservative talk radio host going after the president on all of these things when you just have to step back and you have to watch, be patient. That's what we do on this program. So there's a great furniture company in the Carolinas. It's called Carolina Custom Leather. And they have literally doubled their sales as a result of the president's tariffs. Take a listen.
When you drive up to Carolina Custom Leather, the first thing you see is that they're hiring. Jobs for people like Davey Kartner, dad to an 8-year-old girl.
Yeah, we've been busy. It's really busy, actually. It's good. It's job security. I love having plenty of work.
Made in America at the market was huge. It was the big thing over there.
Bob Timberlake says his American home furniture line doubled sales from last year, in large part because buyers wanted furniture made in America to avoid tariffs.
The market was just, it could not have been better for us.
Each piece of furniture made just like this has multiple layers of helping the North Carolina economy. For example, this batting that went in it was made at another factory in Hickory, and that stuffing over in High Point.
We finally are successful in getting furniture back in North Carolina and America. It's going to bring business to America. It's going to bring industry to America. It's going to bring jobs to America. And it's going to be make us more successful.
I love hearing these kinds of stories. And I'm excited for this local television station that went out there and actually covered the story of what's happening over at Carolina Custom Leather. Because, again, the whole point of the tariffs and this trade war is to bring manufacturing back to America again. This is in Conover, North Carolina, Carolina Custom Leather. And I love it. They make leather furniture right here in the good old U.S. of A. And I love their website. If you go to their website, they've got a big old American flag proudly made in America. Oh, they've got some nice looking leather furniture. I will say this. In my home, I only have American-made furniture. And it was a little pricey, but you know what? It's great. I mean, really, really great furniture. And it's sturdy. And people always say, man, where'd you get your stuff at? And I'm happy to tell them. Made right here in America. And folks, this is going to be a process, and it's going to be painful, but once you get through the pain, we're going to be better off as a nation. You know, like President Trump said, ushering in the golden age of America. And the fact that, again, to see the signs up in front of the Carolina Custom Leather Company there in North Carolina advertising, hey, we're hiring, and we've got good-paying American jobs. Man, I love that. I absolutely love it. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on stories like this as we move through this time. And you got to go check out Carolina Custom Leather, too. CCLeather.com is the website. They have some really nice stuff here. And I am looking for a good leather chair. You know, the one where you can just, it's the kind of chair where you want to sit there with a book and you have a pipe and you're smoking the pipe and you're talking in a southern accent. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm looking for that kind of a good chair. Well, maybe a cigar chair, too. All right, folks, been a lot of fun today. Get out there. Have a good one. Don't forget, ToddStearns.com. Pre-order a copy of Star Spangled Blessings. It'll be in stores very soon. Be good, America.